But in the last bit here, I want to ask about the future of everyday writing. You know, we've talked about a little bit of this already, but where is this going? What value does this have? Is there a future to this? You know,
the writing through the lifespan, that feels like a productive place for like continuing these discussions. And something that I've been working on is like more autoethnographic explorations, and I'm collaborating with a couple colleagues here who are using like a Latina Chicana like lens for thinking about like radical life writing work. And I think like what has felt like it was missing for me from discussions we've had of everyday writing is like explicit and intentional engagement with positionality and thinking about like whose voices are in this conversation, whose aren't. Bringing more people into the conversation can only help us develop like a richer understanding of writing, everyday writing.
Yeah, I also, I think the Writing Through the Lifespan collaborative and the texts that are coming out from there definitely are, you know, I think outside of my work uses the term, I'm not sure how many other people in there use the term everyday writing. And there is a lot where they're focused more on workplace or schooling. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of the attention is about that like life-wide and life-spanning stuff. And I think that's where a lot of our kind of interest collides and why I'm excited about the work they're doing. And I agree, Aaron, I think that idea of positionality and how that plays into the mediation that has to happen, how it shapes what we do and how we write is important. I think kind of going back to that previous discussion we had, I think that everyday writing hopefully as a lens offers a way to lock down some of those, you know, expressions of positionality that might otherwise have been silenced or overlooked. And so I think that there's a lot of really interesting potential there. And I hope that is kind of the future of where things go.
I think there's a lot of interest in the texts that people are reading and writing in their everyday lives, especially like in the areas of political discourse. So I think there's like interest there. I think to your point about print, actually, a lot of the digital texts that seem to matter any given week, like Jan 6 related stuff, just because of the medium, and the medium is meant to be like more key to more like timely publication than preservation, a lot of the important pieces of everyday writing sort of rot. And there are things like the Internet Archive, but that usually doesn't crawl what I would call like everyday writing, or social networks are closed off and that doesn't get archived anyway unless it's X, although Elon might have shut that off. So I think there are questions about like how much more tech savvy do I need to be to study everyday writing kind of in a less atomistic, more environment. Like I spent one summer learning how to use the Twitter API to do different kinds of like searches for topic and geolocation and like user network, and it was wild. But then he turned that off to researchers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it was like super hard to learn, and I don't think everyone could. So like print feels like a rich place to theorize things. But for me, I guess to Jeff's point, it's like, to what degree do I retrofit sponsorship to fit these new environments, or do I reach for something new, like a new term? Yeah, I think those are the things I'm thinking with. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to offer a very, if you allow me to be dramatic here, I'm going to be dramatic because who cares? I'm going to throw caution to the wind a bit. But if we look at the 26 chapters that the editors are choosing, I frankly was like, why everyday writing? You know, why should we care about this term? Because here's the honest to God reality, you know, to be candid, is that so Jeff, Aaron, myself and Yancey, we had written that intro to SAR. The reason why it's an SAR is because C's rejected it, and then College English rejected it. And these are after a revised resubmit. We revised it, and then they rejected it anyway. So, and finally, Yancey was kind of gifted the SAR South Atlantic Review to do whatever she wanted. SAR is not a journal that people in rhetoric and composition follow that much. You know, it is a journal in its own right. I agree with that, but they do not primarily publish in rhetoric and composition. It's something that people don't really pay attention to. Now, I love the SAR special issue that we have. There's some great pieces in there, but I'm not sure how many people are paying attention to it unless they specifically seek it out. You know, we care about it because Florida State people are up and down in that special issue. So, and I will say, of Yancey's work that she's published, notably on tombstones and on handwriting, she does not actually use the word everyday writing, or even when she does transfer research per se. Now, Aaron, you might know more about the more recent stuff than I would, but, you know, if thinking about students' prior writing experiences, she talks about it in terms of prior writing experiences. She doesn't talk about it as everyday writing that I have seen. So, so the question is, why would she elect to have everyday writing as a term? It really hasn't necessarily been picked up by the field, and we have this special issue. Why should we care? And I think we should care, actually. And this is why I'm going to be dramatic. The dramatic thing that I'm going to say is that I think it's the conversations about everyday writing are about disciplinarity. It's always, it's essentially about disciplinarity. And Yancey very, very minimally cites Sid Dobrin. But I think that the reason why we have the everyday writing class in fall of 2014, the reason we have that class is because we read post-composition as one of our first books. When I came in 2012, that was one of the first books we read as part of our reading group, was Sid Dobrin's post-composition, where he says specifically, we have not really talked about writing. We have talked about how to teach writing and the administration of writing, and at the center of our field has been students. And so he says we should shift our attention to writing. Now, this, he wrote that book in like 2011 or something like that. I often think about, in, I think it was 2020, the C's CFP for 2020, where their kind of catchphrase was, we are all writing teachers. And they kind of split out each word. We all are writing whatever. They split out each of them and asked questions around those terms. When they got to writing, the first question they asked was not what is writing, or not what is the function of writing in our lives. The first question they asked when in that kind of category of writing was, how do we teach writing? This is a problem. This, like, we have cared too much about teaching and the administration of teaching. I had a conversation with a history professor. I just walking in the hallways, and we were talking about lines. Hiring lines. And I was like, yeah, you know, we're not going to get, we need the lines. We have so many adjuncts teaching our first year comp classes. We lost a couple people in writing. We need lines. We're not going to get it. Just no funds for it. And she's like, oh, and she was like very excited. Cause like we got a new line in history. We needed someone to teach. I think it was like, kind of history of like the Caribbean or something like that. And she's like, we have these classes that we need students to take, the history of the Caribbean or, south of the, equator type of classes in history. And she's like, we don't have anyone who can teach those. So they gave us a line because we justified it because it's part of our curriculum. We don't have anyone to teach it. And so we hired someone. I was like, you can do that? The provost will give you a line just to teach Caribbean history? Because in writing, we don't say, I mean, I will say at schools like Stockton, regional programs, we don't have a major in writing like Jacob's school does. And I think the major is part of this, but we don't have a major. We just have first year comp and we have WAC. And if I were to say we need someone in technical writing, you know, we don't offer these classes. We need someone who has more familiarity with technical writing, or we need someone who has more knowledge of, you know, digital circulation. We would be laughed at. You're like, we don't hire people like that in writing. If we're giving more freshman students replacing into first year writing, then maybe we'll give you lines, because our field is a service field. We don't like to talk about it that way, but when you get down, like at Florida State, it was a beautiful place where we got to talk about the wonderful things about writing. We had faculty who cared about writing, and we were all kind of reading about writing as a content. When you go and get hired at your at you know, schools like Stockton, and I love Stockton, it's a teaching institution, they don't care about writing as a theory. You can't have a conversation with anyone else. Like, if I have a conversation with someone in history, we talk about history as a content. You think I could have the same conversation with faculty members thinking about writing as a content? No, because we have not primarily in the field focused on what is this writing? How does it work? I think the shift to everyday writing is trying to get us to the theory that Sid Dobrin has kind of written about, you know, because it's not sustainable. I think when 2020, the pandemic hit, instead, like when we had to rethink a lot of things, but what we didn't in 2020, a lot of, and I saw this on Twitter, and I think you see this a lot when people writing about COVID and writing, people dug their heels and says, we need writing more than ever because it administrates writing, not how we think about how people survived through writing with each other. So it's interesting to me that when 2020 pandemic hit, people in our field, I think, gravitated much more to the question of how do we continue to administrate writing at universities in a pandemic, rather than how did this thing called writing sustain every single person's life around this globe? That is interesting.
I think that's 100% right.
That is fascinating.
It's like a weird disciplinary question because, like, as y'all have noted, your definition of everyday writing is so interdisciplinary, like surprisingly so. But then also it tries to make this disciplinary claim. And then there are already like these existing writing disciplines that people may not acknowledge. Yeah, it's hard to figure out how the puzzle pieces fit, but especially like as we've talked about, the lines between technical writing, for instance, and everyday writing seem like kind of fuzzy, which was actually like the little zine I wrote about, like that was one of the points. He used bureaucratic forms as sort of models and templates for his content, even though it was like clearly a piece of everyday writing.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, Joe. I think that that is an interesting and like kind of a hope that I have for the future, is that everyday writing functions as a way to not necessarily, I don't know if we'll ever fully be extricated from the service of comp, but as a way to kind of cleave it out a little bit. And I think that, you know, the classes that I have with students that seem to get the most engagement are the classes where we talk about everyday writing, because as we've mentioned before, it's the writing that they're often engaging in. Jacob, you mentioned it's like the bleeding edge. It's the stuff that they're familiar with. It's where they can make those inroads. And it's where I think they have the least amount of baggage in terms of, you know, bad experiences and bad feedback. I think it's also the most real. It's the one that they'll actually engage with in the future, and out, you know, in the present, outside of class. So I really want that to be where we go. And I think that everyday writing as a concept offers a lot of potential to kind of address that in ways that haven't been made clear. And I think that reading, you know, thinking about those readings that we did from sociolinguistics, anthropology, all those that deal with writing and communication, about all a lot of the same ideas that we have as a field of like writing mediates life, writing enables connections, writing does all of these things, we always have to include at the end, here's how this applies to the classroom. We're reading those pieces, they're talking about the exact same things, or, you know, similar things. There's never a, okay, here's how you include this in your classroom. It's always, this is important as an intellectual endeavor, just because it's important. And I think that that's to the detriment of our field, that all of our journals, all of our textbooks, all of the ways that we're expected to, you know, even in our departments, the way that we're expected to theorize things is, how will this help me teach writing to freshmen?